Let's turn in our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12, and we're about to read some of the most unusual books in all chapters out of this book in all the Bible. I promise you, religious cults don't have chapters like this. They don't touch this kind of stuff. But I want to remind you that the book of Leviticus is a call to holiness. And when I say a call to holiness, I'm saying we worship a holy God. What does that mean? He's unique. He's set apart. He fully knows what's best for us. And he longs for us. He says often in the book Leviticus, ye be holy because the Lord your God is holy. Therefore, he wants us to have a standard that's biblical, a standard that sets us apart, not to be odd, but to be unique in our world. And how we even deal with life is amazing. One of the most beautiful things that can take place on planet Earth is the birth of a child. I mean, I don't know how any doctor or medical person could work in a delivery room and deny there's God. And just see the miracle of childbirth, and it's such a beautiful gift that God has given us. And yet, how we respond to that is so significant. In chapter 12, which is the shortest chapter in Leviticus, that Moses gives some instruction, and they're beautiful reminders of what the reality of what life is all about. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived, by the way, that's a good thing, all right? Genesis chapter 1, be fruitful and what? Some of you are more obedient than others, okay? You know, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, God says. That's our responsibility, our privilege. So having children is not sinful, okay? Get that, because you read this carefully, you can misunderstand that. God is all for multiplication through men and women that are married together. So, speak to the children of Israel. If a woman has conceived and born a male child, all right, then, well, she shall be unclean 7 days. As in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. Now, why is she considered unclean? Is it dirty to have a child? No. But the reality is, he's talking to the woman who actually, this is what you need to hear, though you don't want to hear this. You need to hear it, but you don't want to hear it. What you're bringing into this world is a little sinner. We all say, oh, what a beautiful baby. I'm sure Pharaoh's mother said that. I'm sure Haman's mother said that. I'm sure Herod's mother said that. I'm sure, you know, Hitler's mother said that. You know, Saddam Hussein, I'm sure their mother said, oh, what a beautiful baby. But God knows, what a little sinner. And we come into this world, we don't come in perfect and then get polluted, all right? You know, we come in this world and there's just this residue that is about us. And so though they're cute little sinners, they're still little sinners. They need to be changed, to be transformed by the work of Jesus Christ. And so, now listen, he says, she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. There's a periodic time for a woman, you know, cyclical each month, where there's a 7 day period where she's unclean. Well, giving birth to a child also deals with blood issues, deals with dead tissues, things like this, all right? And this is exactly, it continues on. It says, listen, but on the eighth day, if she has a male child, remember this, a male child, on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. You know, what are we talking about here? Well, on the physical realm, we know that on the eighth day, what happens to our blood? It has the ability to do something, what? Right. It clots, all right? And so there's an issue there, number one, physically, for the clotting. But number two, the eighth day is a day of new beginnings. It's something beautiful. But more than that, there's something spiritual that's happening in this time. You know, and God wants to do a spiritual work on our life. For example, you know, later on in Deuteronomy, it says, therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart, And be no longer stiff-necked, you know? So this whole circumcision, we look at it from the physical, but God looks at it what? From the spiritual. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that why? That you may live. Of course, what does Jeremiah say? He talks a lot about the heart. By the way, Jeremiah is the book of the Bible that talks more about the heart than any other book in the entire Bible. But Jeremiah says this, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskin of your hearts. What's that? Any flesh that covers our heart, God says, I want that taken away. You men of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And so what we need to see here is what God is doing is he's using a physical illustration to declare a spiritual proclamation. You know, when we were going through the book of Romans together and we got to chapter 2, you may recall, Paul says this, because by the time we get to Romans, you recall that? Remember the church of Rome had some tension? It was filled with Jews and Gentiles, and the Jews thought they were on the varsity, you know, spiritual team, and the Gentiles, they thought they were on the varsity, and no. Paul says this, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. And he goes on later on to say, listen, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and of the spirit. So way back in the original law, dealing with circumcision, it's all about the flesh that ruins us, gang. It's our flesh that hinders what God wants us to fully enjoy. So he says, on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin of this brand new little sinner, cute little sinner, shall be circumcised. And then she shall then continue in the blood of her purification for 33 days. You know, and so there's a total of 40 days. 7 days after the birth, she's impure. And then another 33 days because she had a male. So for 40 days, there is a season of cleansing. During that 40-day period, she shall not touch any, you know, separated thing, hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. Now, before we go into verse 5, I'm the messenger. I'm not the message. I have no idea, no one does, about this next one. We can guess, but we don't know. What are you talking about? Obviously, you haven't read verse 5 before tonight. Here we go. But if she bears a female child, well, she shall be unclean 2 weeks, okay, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification for 60 days. What? Everything's doubling. What, 66 days? It's a total of 80 days. Now, what are some thoughts behind that? Why is it, you know, one amount for the boys, another amount for the girls? Some have suggested that it has to do with the discharging or the lack of wholeness, or that maybe it takes that long to get some of the tissue. You know, here's the bottom line. Who knows? God says it. I believe it. Next verse. Well, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether she had a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering. It's almost as if she's saying, as I bring this lamb, not a sheep, this young lamb, what I'm really doing is I'm dedicating my child to you. Remember, a burnt offering is a what? Full commitment. That I want to fully commit my child to you. Like this lamb is young, so is my child. So, she, and by the way, she's doing this. She brings to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering. A young pigeon or turtle dove as a sin offering. Why? Because she has sinned? No. For the little sinner that just came into the world. To the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, then he, the priest, shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. What does that mean? That she's coming and we're dealing with spiritual things also, and now she has the freedom to come and worship God The purification has taken place, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who is born a male or female. But I love the heart of God. Listen to this. If she's not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves and two young pigeons, one as a burnt offering, okay, and one as a sin offering. Why? So the priest may make atonement for her and she will be clean. Interesting. It says in Luke chapter 2, listen to this. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Question, were Mary and Joseph wealthy? They were humble, but they were taken care of. The King of Kings was born into a home that most of us can connect with. Amen? He understands what it's like to live a life like most of us live. Well, that's the passage that says, listen, we're going to be unique in even how we bring life into the world. We're going to be set apart from all other nations that people can see that we come into this world a cute little sinner, but God has a plan to redeem every single one of us. Now, as we come to chapter 13 and 14, we're going to be dealing with leprosy. But I want you to see something. As we look at this, this chapter deals with the cleansing of leprosy. Please hear this. It's the cleansing of leprosy. It's not the cure for leprosy. Only God is the cure for leprosy. So the issue is here, we're believing God to bring a cleansing to the healing that you need. So, you know, years ago, a well-known novelist, he wrote this, "The beginning of health is to know the disease." That's pretty wise. Because, you know, after all, if you even don't even know what the problem is, how can you begin to attack the problem? One doctor said this about, Dr. Thompson is his name, he said this about leprosy, okay? It comes on by degrees in different parts of the body. The hair falls from the head and eyebrows. The nails loosen, decay, and drop off. Joint after joint of the fingers, the toes shrink up and slowly fall away. The gums are absorbed, the teeth disappear, the nose, the eyes, the tongue, and the palate are slowly consumed. And finally, the wretched victim sinks into the depths of the earth and disappears. But what we want to see, as we're told often, you're going to hear me say this a lot the next several weeks, that what the Old Testament is a shadow of Jesus in the New Testament. Even these things that we're dealing with are shadows that deal with the spiritual problems that we have. So we often talk about leprosy as a symbol of sin. This is the chapter that launches that for us in so many ways. Without going into a long dissertation on what leprosy is and what leprosy isn't, you know, I'm not a doctor, but there are some basic things here that will help us. And so here we have the position. And there's two positions I want us to look at tonight. Please hear this. Number one, those of us that deal with leprosy personally, but those of us that deal with leprosy from the position of being a priest, because you are a royal priesthood. And there are things that come along with that assignment that sometimes are quite frankly, hard to deal with. But yet God says, I need you to do these things. And so part of the aspect tonight is saying, listen, Lord, is there any leprosy in my life? Lord, how do I deal with leprosy in my brother or sister's life? And God has it right here. How does it begin? Well, when a man has on the skin of his body, leprosy deals with what? The flesh. That's our biggest problem. I already said it earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Our biggest issue in life is flesh. Physical, spiritual, sensual. It just comes down to that in so many ways. But he says, listen to how leprosy can affect the flesh. When a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, by the way, pride does what? It puffs up. What's the middle letter in the word pride? What's the middle letter in the word sin? Yeah. It says a sinful leprosy begins by causing you to be puffed up. If a body is swelling and a scab covers it, what's a scab? It's more flesh. And your flesh is covering it up. Or a bright spot. Initially, sin seems to be so good, huh? This is just exactly what I want, what I need. I'm puffed up. Yeah. Well, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore. Interesting. When we say leprosy here, it's not what we think of commonly as Hansen's disease, where limbs fall off, those kinds of things. It dealt with a disease that affects the skin. It spreads over the skin. It brings discoloration to your skin. It brings flaking to your skin. It can be humanly, as we'll see, but it also can be in a building, all right? It can be in your clothes. It can be dealing where you live. And by the way, if he was dealing with, and we have these words that we use, because it comes out of language. The Hebrew word that Moses is using is describing a general thing. But in the Greek language, if it was talking about leprosy like you and I think of, it's the Greek word, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but it's elephantiasis. That's describing what you and I think of leprosy, where limbs falling off. But he's not using that word here. He's using a word that is in the Greek language. It's translated from the Hebrew into Greek, lepra. So we get the word leprosy, but it's a whole different thing. And by the way, they've diagnosed at least 24 different types of skin diseases that fall in the category of what we're talking about. And by the way, these categories are just a general, kind of giving you a general idea of what to look for, all right? Why am I bringing up all this? Because there's a whole lot of sin out there that God has to deal with. And leprosy is a physical picture of what happens spiritually when we begin to fall apart spiritually. The thing about leprosy that is so amazing is that you lose feeling. Think about that. What's the most dangerous sinner in the world? Someone who's heartless, who has no feeling. And the biggest problem with leprosy, it's not the pain of their limbs falling off. They don't feel that. It's what happens. They kill themselves without even knowing. They don't even know they're killing themselves. They're cutting themselves. They don't know they're cutting themselves. They're burning themselves. They don't even know it. And that's what happens when we get in the death of our sin. We're killing ourselves spiritually, and we don't even know it. That's why this is so serious to God. So he says it begins by beginning slowly. You swell up. Your flesh becomes hard. Bright spots happen. So what should we do? Here we go. Well, the person that's dealing with possibly the leprosy has questions. Is this happening in my life? The first thing you need to do is to look for accountability. What do you do? Well, he should be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. Okay? Find somebody that will take the time to love you enough to look into your life. By the way, you're going to find out sometimes it is sin, sometimes it's not. What does James say about temptation? Is it a sin to be tempted? No. No. But what you do after the temptation, that decides whether you're going to operate in sin or victory. I mean, for most men, we can identify with this. If a beautiful woman comes walking, across the room and she is just stunning to us men, it's not a sin to be tempted by, wow, what a beautiful person. It's what you do after that. It's not the glance, it's the gaze, if I can put it that way. So look for accountability. So that they brought, bring in Aaron, bring in one of his sons, and listen to what happens. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body. I want you to see something. God has called you, God has called me to be a part of his royal priesthood. You know what that means? We're going to have to deal, if we really care about our brothers and sisters with love, with the sin in their life. And by the way, listen to this. The priest is not the doctor. The priest doesn't have the healing. All the priest can do is prescribe the treatment for the sinner. I've never saved anybody in my life, and neither have you. Only Jesus has done that. I've never healed anybody in my life. Only Jesus does that. I've had the privilege of praying for three people that have died and they've come back to life. Did I bring them out? No. No. I'm the priest. I can just say, hey, I think they're dead. Medical attention, Jesus. Okay. But the idea of the priest was there for the health of the community, the health of the children of Israel, the health of the body. That's our role. Don't we want to have a healthy congregation? Don't we want to have a healthy community? Don't we want to have healthy brothers and sisters? Yes, then as a royal priesthood, we're going to have to take time at time to examine. By the way, would you have wanted to be a priest, have that role? I'd be doing this like, ooh, icky. You know, oh well, that's my job. And so, the priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body. You know, and there's like 21 cases in these chapters that we're dealing with, but not all 21 we're going to look at. So what is he looking for? What are we looking for? Number one, see if the hair on the sore has turned white. I was thinking about this afternoon that how many of you have gone to like a high school reunion? Okay, how many of you gone like after 20 years? And you can tell who has leprosy and or not. What I mean by that, there's some folks that after 20 years, their hair is white. What I'm saying is they're living hard lives. You can see that, can't you? Now, we're going to get to you later on, Bill. We'll get later on the chapter dealing with baldness. So you're okay, by the way. It's not sin. The Bible says so. It's just, as Pastor Chad likes to say, he says, you don't put marble tops on cheap furniture. That's what Pastor Chad likes to say. So but anyways, the point is, when people live a hard life, they age prematurely. That's what's happening here. Sin destroys your body. If the hair on the sore has turned white, the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it's a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce to him, you know what? You are unclean. 54 times in chapters 13, 14, and 15, we're going to hear this word unclean. And it has to deal with a ceremonial defilement. You are not presentable to stand before a holy God. By the way, none of us are. What does the Bible say about our righteousness, our own? It's like filthy what? Rags. It's the righteousness of Jesus. Ours. We're not smart enough, rich enough, good looking enough. We don't have that stuff. But it says, listen, if you want to continue in this state, both socially and spiritually, you're going to be on your own. And that's what sin does. Again, the middle letter is I. And you know what you get when you live a life of I? You get yourself. And no real relationship with God, your family, your friends. You got what you wanted, that's yourself. And so, the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body. It's leprous. Well, then the priest says, you know what? You are unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who is a sore for 7 days. I like that. What I mean? As a priest, a royal priesthood, can I say this? Let us deal patiently with our brothers and sisters. We are not joy suckers or sin sniffers. We're saints. I'm not trying to do bumper stick theology, and I'm just saying, we are not sin sniffers. For we all fall short of the glory of God. But we ought to operate carefully and patiently when someone is coming and saying, listen, there's an issue in my life. I don't know if it's sin or not. Would you love me enough to really point me to the right prescription for wholeness? Even Paul told Timothy, listen, when it comes to an elder, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. We don't just go after people. You patiently deal with people. So the priest, he says, listen, let me isolate you for a while. Let's pray about this. And so for 7 days, there's a time. On the seventh day, they come back together and he examines them again. If the sore appears to be as it was and hasn't spread on the skin, the priest shall isolate them another 7 days. Say, you know what? We're not done yet. Let's take another 7 days. Let's make sure we know what we're talking about. And the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day. What I'm going to say, I'm not trying to sound cute, but you don't make rash judgments with these rashes. Okay? It could be leprosy. It could be poison oak, poison ivy. I wonder how many people we have in the past destroyed because we attack them too quickly. Here's the danger of walking with Jesus a long time. If you don't walk under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you'll become a bitter, legalistic person. You'll hear the first 5 words and you'll put everybody in the same box. Part of the problem is we don't know all the story, only he does. That's why we need to wait and say, God, what do you want to do? I wish I'd learned this when I was 35. Oh well, can't go back, but we're going forward, amen? Then the priest shall examine again on the seventh day, and if the sore has faded and the sore has not spread on the skin, good news, you're clean, yay! But, verse 7, if the scab should at all spread over the skin, after it's been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. The priest sees the scab is indeed spread on the skin. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. Yep, it's leprosy. Okay. Well, if when the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to. Sometimes we got to bring somebody in. You don't go by yourself, but someone has to help you come. That's called love. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, right? Someone's hurting, you come alongside, you help pick them up, you carry them because you care. You bring them to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. Indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white and has turned hair white, the spot is of, here it is, raw flesh. What's the real issue with sin? Raw flesh. Let's get to the raw meat of it. And it's swelling. It's an old leprosy on the skin of the body. The priest shall announce, he's not dealing with it. He's unclean. But there are times, verse 12, leprosy breaks out all over the skin. The leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has a sore from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, and the priest shall consider. Indeed, if the leprosy have covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean. It's all turned white. He's clean. But, verse 14, it's the raw flesh that appears. He shall be unclean. How many of you had this moment? Unfortunately, you didn't catch it before the moment was over, but you walked out of a meeting so disgusted with yourself because it was ugly. And you realized, man, I was so ugly in that meeting. I wish I hadn't have said that, or I wish I hadn't have acted that way. You know what I'm just saying? It's just raw flesh. Tartar. Anybody like tartar? You know what that is? You guys know? Ooh, we haven't been any uppity places. Yeah, do you like tartar? It's okay. Tastes like chicken. No. It's raw hamburger, basically, you know. It's raw flesh, right? Verse 23. If a bright spot stays on in one place and has not spread, it's the scar of a boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. It's just a boil. Don't worry about it. You know, puberty, you're okay. But if the body receives a burn on its skin by fire and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest, again, he examines it. But what are we talking about here? Just the depth of sin. It shows up in so many different ways. How about this? Verse 29. If a man or woman has a sore on the head or the beard. I don't know why I laugh. I don't know what she's doing with a beard, but anyways, you know. If a man or woman has a sore on the head or the beard, what is this talking about? Hidden sin. Hidden sin. Sometimes we can grow some hair to cover things up. Guess what? Whether another person sees it or not, you know it's there, and God knows it's there. Then the priest shall examine even our hidden sins, if he's a good priest, if I can put it that way. And if it appears deeper than the skin, there is in it just thin yellow hair, then the priest shall, well, pronounce him unclean. It's a scale of leprosy of the head or beard. How about that? Boy, there's so much on leprosy here. How about, here we go. Bill, this is for you. Verse 40. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald. Ta-da! But he is clean. There you go. It's your life verse, okay? Memorize that verse. All right? I'll be there in about 2 years, okay? Actually, my hair is having a race, either bald or gray. I'm not sure which one's going to win, but it's full on, okay? So, as for the man who has hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. He whose hair has fallen from his forehead. Please don't do a comb over. Let it go. No, he is bald on the forehead, but he is clean. I often wonder, does that guy really think the comb over is not a notice? If you have one here tonight, I don't see a comb over here tonight, but you know, really, do you think naturally we all have a part just right above our ear that goes all the way over? You know what's worse than a comb over? A comb over with dyed hair for men, all right? It's just like, hello, on a windy day, it's fun just to watch. Anyways, you're bald, you're beautiful. Most of you came into this world bald, and you're going to go out bald. Deal with it. Verse, don't you love the Bible? It's so real. And if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish white sore, it's leprosy breaking out his bald head and bald forehead. Well, then the priest has to examine that. Please don't make an appointment with me. Go see Pastor Dwayne or Pastor Terry if you have these issues. They'll spend so much more time with you. They enjoy this kind of stuff. So anyways, see them in the morning. So if there's on the bald head, go see those guys, all right? Because they would just love, they're like a monkey that just kind of, you know, cleans up. They would love you, okay? I'm not saying they're a monkey. They like a monkey. Verse 45. Now, the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean all the days. He is the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. Verse 46 is a powerful verse. It's a life of isolation. It's a life of being lonely. It's a life also that if you allow the deep things of God to complete his work, there'll be amazing healing. One of my favorite verses to tell people that are going through it is Isaiah 45. And I will give you treasures in what? Darkness. You're in a dark place, a lonely place, that's okay. One of the most meaningful testimonies in all the Bible to me is in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. It's the story of Manasseh. And finally, Manasseh is by himself in this prison situation. He became the longest reigning king of all Judah, but he's overtaken by the Assyrians. They put a hook in his nose. They treat him like a bull. And he finds himself in a cistern, and he hears people crying out. And in the darkness, he has a moment of reality. I am here because of what I've done. I can't blame it on my folks. I can't blame it on life. I am here because of what I have done. That's a meaningful God moment. And God can do this even in leprosy. He sets you outside the camp. You cannot work. You cannot socialize. You cannot worship. You're on your own. You're less protected. No one wants to be there. Well, sin can affect us on just the way that we, on our body. But think about this. And this is where we're going to go real quickly. It's just not our body, it's what we put over our bodies also. What do you mean? If a garment has a leprous plague in it, whether it's woolen or linen, whether it's in the warp or the woof of the linen or the wool, the threads, if it's in between the threads, you know, there's threads that go this way and threads that go the other way. You know, you warp and woof people, you know what I'm talking about? if it gets in between the threads, whether it's leather or anything made of leather, if the plague is greenish, reddish on the garment and the leather, whether it's a warp or the woof or anything made of leather, it's leprous, it's a plague, and it shall be shown to the priest. And we're coming into that season where I haven't had to say this for a few years, and I'm thankful, but every once in a while I have to stand up on a Sunday morning and encourage people to dress like they're coming to church and not the lake. Nothing wrong with going to the lake after church. Nothing wrong with that. But there's lake wear and there's worship wear. Please wear the worship wear. Why? Because there's a lot of people that need you to love them enough to wear worship wear and not lake wear to church. We're men. We're women. We're human. And we are easily distracted. And so I think there's a word here, even for our clothing can be laborious. That's not a word I just made up, but it sounds good, doesn't it? You know, it just can cause problems, right? It can cause sin. It can cause stumbling. Verse 52, what should we do? Burn that garment, all right? He shall therefore burn the garment, which is the plague, whether it's the warp, the woof, or the wool, or the linen, or any leather thing. If there's leprosy, burn it. Get rid of it. Maybe some things don't need to be burned. Don't go home and have a burn your wardrobe party. What do you mean? Verse 53, if the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the garment, either the warp or the woof or anything made of leather, then the priest shall command that they wash it. Maybe you just need some help with how you're wearing some of your clothing. Maybe it's like, you know what? This is appropriate for the lake. This is appropriate for worship. This is appropriate for work. Don't throw it all out. You see what I'm saying? We get so legalistic, so radical sometimes that we just have a terrible testimony in the community. God's not that radical. He cares about us. Some things, we just need to clean it up a little bit. All right? Well, so clothing can be a problem. But really, what's the whole, why is he bringing all these things up, chapter 14? So that God can do something. Here's the real point that I want to get to tonight. Chapter 14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this is the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. You know what chapter 14 is all about? Hope, healing, restoration, reconciliation. But really, it's being restored. He says, listen, it's not hopeless. The sin in your life that's bringing you to be an isolated person, the sin in your life that's caused you to be so numb you can't even feel, you know, pain. By the way, you know what pain is, honestly? It's God telling you you're not dead yet. If you're bleeding and you feel nothing, I would be worried. But if you're bleeding and it hurts, you're alive. Labor pains, haven't been there, seen it. It's just proof. There's life coming out. So, again, not talking from personal experience, but just observation. So, there's hope. Go to the one that can heal you, all right? The priest, verse 3, shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed, you know the Lord is willing to come to you in your isolated place. Do you see this? The priest leaves and goes to where you are to say, listen, how can I help you to have that bridge built between you and God once again? The priest shall command to take him who is to be cleansed, verse 4. Take two living, you know, and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. What's up with this? First off, think about this. He's going to the leper. Since the leper is isolated, you know what that means? He cannot work. He has nothing. He's living in poverty. Think about this. What God is asking him to bring for cleansing is the same thing he would say to a person in poverty how to receive cleansing. Get the idea here? They can't work. So God's not asking something unrealistic of you and of me. They can't afford a lamb. They can't afford, you know, sheep. They can't afford a goat. They can't afford a cow. But guess what? Birds are free. They're all over the place. Grab what's near you. The poor person can come who's been broken. The priest shall command that these two living birds, the priest shall command that the one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. I love what J. Vernon McGee has to say about this. Listen to this. Why is this bird killed in an earthen vessel? Isn't that kind of weird? Think, what? Everything that God puts in his word in the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. What is a bird in a clay vessel. What is that? J. Vernon McGee, this unusual ritual pictures to us what Christ did to save a lost world. Birds don't belong in clay jars. They belong in the heavens. Jesus came down from heaven and became a man, as it were. He put himself into a clay jar so that he might die for our sins. That's beautiful. The priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the other living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, the scarlet, the hyssop, and dip them in the living bird and the blood of the bird that was killed and over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times. What's with this seven times? I'll tell you what most scholars suggest. Why the going around the altar and sprinkle seven times, seven times, seven times? I don't know if this is completely accurate, but I sure appreciate this. I think it represents the seven ways that Jesus bled on the cross that day for you and for me. Blood came off his head, his right hand, his left hand, his left foot, his right foot. His back was like hamburger. And finally, from his side, as a spear was thrust in, seven places he bled. Seven times his blood was sprinkled for you and for me. I don't think there's any coincidence or filler in the Bible. It's there for you and it's there for me. And they shall pronounce, because of this blood that's being sprinkled, and one bird is let go into an open field, reminding, you know what? We were dead, but now we're alive. He who is to be cleansed, listen to this. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water that he may be clean. Isn't that how we come into the world? Bald and beautiful. You look a little bit like an alien, but it gets better, okay? But it's like, hey, you're having a new beginning. New life is happening. And after that, he shall come into the camp. You can make your way back into what? This new person that you are. This new person doesn't live in isolation, but we need to have fellowship, gang. You cannot walk this journey with Jesus by yourself. It's been tried. It won't steal your salvation, but you won't be the person that we need you to be in the body of Christ. We need you. We need one another. Ann Ortland, many of you have no idea who she is, but her husband Ray was an amazing pastor in Southern California. And she had a bucket list. And on her bucket list, I love what she wrote this. She goes, here's my bucket list. One thing is, I want to write a book so that I have some extra pocket change. She wrote a book, and if you can get a hold of this book, grab it. It's out of print, but it's called Up With Worship. It's the best little booklet I've ever read on worship. Ann Ortland, Up With Worship. Probably can find it on Amazon. But here's my favorite paragraph in the book. She says, when we come together to worship, we have a choice. We can either be a bag of marbles or a bag of grapes. A bag of marbles. Find out how old you are. Marbles. Do marbles get along very well? They click against one another. But do grapes in a bunch? Sure. She says, that's what worship ought to be. Some of you are raisins. Some of you are grapes, but we need you. Some of you are graisins. That's what I am. I'm kind of in between a grape and a raisin, okay? But you know what? We need us to come. And she says in this one paragraph, she says, and when grapes get bunched together, the juices flow together. And out of it comes a fine wine. She didn't write that part. I just added that. But she should have. But isn't that true? Isn't that true? We have a choice. And so after the cleansing comes, come back into the community, it says. And after that, again, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside the tent 7 more days. You come in, but get ready to worship. But on the 7th day, again, you need to clean yourself up again. Shave again all the hair off his head, the beard, his eyebrows, all his hair shall be shaven off. He shall wash his clothes, wash his body in water, and shall be clean. And then on the eighth day, you have an offering that you give unto the Lord. Again, you're dealing with the issues of your life. You have the grain offering with the oil and a log of oil. It's a little less than a pint. And, you know, the priest comes together and he proclaims, you're clean, you're clean. Verse 12, and the priest says, listen, I'm going to take a male lamb and I'm going to offer as a trespass offering. Why? Because you're a sinner. You're going to have to continue to deal with sin. I know that. And puts the oil in verse 12 and the wave offering, offers it to God. Then verse 13, and he shall kill the lamb in the place of that where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. But I want you to see something. This is powerful. Verse 14, then the priest does something. Hear this. Then the priest treats the leprous person like a priest. Please hear this. The priest treats the leprous person like a priest. Isn't that the goal of God? To turn every sinner into a priest. Listen to this. Verse 14. The priest shall then take some of the blood of the trespass offering. And the priest, you remember this if you've been following with us or Leviticus, the priest, the same thing that happened to Aaron and his sons, this priest comes to that person with leprosy, he's dying, he's isolated. He says, wait a second, you are not a sinner any longer. I'm going to treat you like a priest. The priest takes some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put on the tip of the right ear of him who has to be cleansed. Why the right ear? Because he knows they've what? Heard some things, some lies probably, that the blood has to cover. He puts it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand. Why? Because he's done some things that has to be covered by the blood. And on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe, I love that, big toe of the right foot, your strength, your right hand, your right toe, your strength. Your strength sometimes can take you places that you shouldn't go. So it needs to be covered. But now look at this. And then the priest shall take some of the oil and pour it into the palm of his left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil. I love this. That is in the left hand. And sprinkle some of the oil with his finger, what? Seven times. Not only has the blood cleansed you, but the Spirit has anointed you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon each one of you here tonight. And he has anointed you to preach the gospel and to proclaim. There's a message that Jesus has. And the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put some, ready for this? On the right ear of him who is to be cleansed. On the thumb of the right hand, on the big toe of his right foot, and on the blood of the trespass offering. So he covers the blood with the oil. We need Jesus first and his Spirit to come upon us. Are you seeing this? If you want to know what's the last thing I do before I leave pastors when I'm overseas, this. It's so fun. We just take out all kinds of oil and we just say, here. And I don't do the anointing. I say, you anoint him, and you anoint him, and you anoint him. And they pair up in two or three, and they pray over one another and anoint one another. That is so cool. It's one of my favorite times. Why? Verse 18, the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hands he shall put on the head of him who has been cleansed, just like Aaron's beard dripping down. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Why? Then, after they've been anointed, the priest shall offer the what? Sin offering, right? Because we all sin. And after that, he shall kill the burnt offering. They're fully committed. They've dealt with their sin. And after that, the priest shall give the offering, the burnt offering and the what? What does that represent? Communing with God. We deal with our sin. We've been cleansed. We deal with our commitment, we're fully in, and then we deal with our communion with God as we serve him. Well, if they're poor and can't afford it, there's another offering they can give. Real quickly, verse 32, this is the law for the one who has a leprous sore who cannot afford the usual cleansing. What about our, leprosy can take place on our body, hear this, on our body, from our clothes, we can cause others to stumble. But what about this, real quickly, you kind of get this so we don't have to go over a lot, but verse 33, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, he said, listen carefully, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession. You don't have a house here tonight. You live in the house that God has given you, by the way. Which I have given you, and I put the leprous plague in the house of the land of your possession, and he who owns the house, he comes and tells the priest, hey, there's some plague in this house. The priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes in. He examines it. Verse 37, he shall examine the plague, and if indeed the plague is on the walls, the house, the ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, or which appear to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house, the door of the house, shut up the house for 7 days. What does that mean? Let's wait and see what's really happening inside that house. Gang, here's something you don't know. You absolutely don't know. What happens behind someone's door when they shut it? You may be Mrs. Krabitz across the street thinking you know everything, but you don't. And so again, the priest patiently waits. Is this leprosy in here, or is this just something that's going to blow over? The priest shall come again, verse 39, the seventh day, and look, if the plague has spread on the walls, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones. They cast them to an unclean place outside the city. Try and restore these stones. But you know what? Sometimes you can't restore it. It can't be cleaned up. It's too late. It's too far. What do they do? Verse 42, they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones and take the place of that mortar. But sometimes that's still not enough. Some people, they just want to just keep living like they want to live. Well, verse 44, the priest shall come and look again. And if indeed the plague has spread in the house, it's actively leprosy in the house, it's unclean. He shall break down the house, tear it down, the house, its stones, its timber, and all the plaster of the house. Carry them outside the city. This place isn't to be lived in again. Moreover, he who goes into the house at a while it's shut in shall be unclean till evening. He who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and he who eats in the house, well, shall wash his clothes. But then there's a time for cleansing. Why? Verse 53, he shall let the living bird loose outside the city, the open field, back to the bird thing, and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. For this is the law for any leprous sore, scale, for any leprous garment of a house, for a swelling, a scab, and a bright spot. Why? To teach what is unclean. And when it is clean, this is the law of leprosy. When was the last time you checked the inside of your house? When was the last time you walked through your house? I remember when I was we were living in Michigan and my dad was working for Youth for Christ, and I remember this so vividly. They gave him as a gift a little Buddha. You know the guy with the big belly, kind of looks like me when I'm sitting down? It's like me at the beach, you know. But they gave, and you know what? I remember when I was in junior high, this is like, my dad got it when I was in kindergarten. But in junior high, something was going on, and my dad realized, we got to get this thing out of our house. Mom and Dad, when's the last time you walked into your kid's room? So they need their privacy. Are they paying the rent? No, it's your house. When have you checked their text message? What's their phone? Are they paying for it? No, it's your phone. I'm not trying to say to be ugly, but you know what? Someone's got to take the lead to keep the leprosy out. Remember when we first got we switched from cable to dish. Some kind of dish thing. You know what I hated about that? The free stations they gave us at first. That you don't even know until one day. And I've lived in my house now almost 25 years. And we don't have curtains on our front window. Some people think we're poor. We just like no curtains. But you know what I like about that? Anybody can drive by my house and see if Pastor Brian's watching. I'm not embarrassed. I was when we first got dish because I didn't know. I'm flipping through and all of a sudden, whoa, you know what that was? Leprosy in my house. It's the small stuff, gang. Rob and I had to make a decision. While our kids were growing up, we never had alcohol in our house. I'm not saying we do now. I'm just saying we made a decision that, while, you know why? Because I was a high school kid, and I know my grandfather died as an alcoholic on Skid Row Beach in Miami Beach. And my dad made a stand saying, no more. But you know what? I got those addictive genes. And I know what I did with alcohol. And I know that my kids are from my loins. You know, and again, I'm not telling you what to do, because I know there's some folks, here's their line. Well, you know what? They just got to learn how to deal with it properly. So if we have it in the house, they can learn how to temperance. And all that. Fine, that's your decision. I'm really not judging you. I'm just saying, for me, I know my kids because they got some stuff for me. Therefore, we got that leprosy out. Because our kids, because they got my genes, don't know how to take anything in a little bit. That's called loving. That's called being a priest. I can't heal it, but guess what? I can point to the right prescription for healing. Again, we're not turning into, you know, legalistic creeps, but what's being played in your house? What's filling the air in your house? What's on the computer in your house? What's all these things? What leprosy could the clothing that you're wearing or your kids are wearing could be causing a real downfall? And God says, be holy for I am holy. That doesn't mean to be odd, weird, annoying. It means to be the man or woman that God created you to be. I love this chapter, because it ends with hope, right? He says again, I'm teaching you these things so you know what's clean and what's unclean. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you that you say, this is what leprosy looks like. Father, sometimes we are priests, and I can't even imagine the gory, gross stuff those priests had to look at, that they had to smell. Who wants to do that? And yet, because of love, they'll say, I'll look at that. I'll smell that. I'll burn that. I'll wash that. I'll come outside to meet with you in your isolation. Some of us are priests tonight. Some of us need to go to someone and be accountable and say, listen, can you look at this? Is this leprosy or is this just a bad day? And patiently pray for them and see what God has to say. But God, we want to be the holy people you've called us to be. We cannot do this outside of your blood and your spirit, Jesus. Come quickly.